Good morning. It's great to be here. I think I was here last year, sharing compassion with you guys, and I was kindly asked to come and speak to you outside of compassion. So I appreciate the warm invite. I've got a message to share with us this morning, a message that's been challenging me and something that I've been processing in my own life. I've turned 60 this year, and looking at the aging process of the human being, of our minds, of our bodies, souls, and our spirits. And I'm realizing more and more that looking at the scriptures and looking at examples throughout the Bible and looking at what I see around me, for us this morning, there needs to be a resistance against the aging process. The Bible clearly says that, yes, we are on the outward side, we are fading away. But Paul was very clear to say, but inwardly, we are being renewed daily. And this is a sort of an understanding that I want to go into this message with. And I'm titling this message, Software Update. Are you up to date? So that laptop that our friend is working on this morning is working fine. He looks at me, thinks it is. My phone, my iPad, laptop, computers, all require updates to keep relevant, to keep responsive to new software, and to be usable. And a few months ago, I dug an old mobile phone out at home and just wanted to get some stuff that I had on that phone. But I couldn't get that phone to work properly, because it had been sat in the drawer for that long that when I come to update that phone, the first thing that the phone asked for was software update. You are not up to date, Paul. Your phone is not relevant. So before you do anything with that phone, it needs to be updated. Now sadly, the phone had become defunct, because it had not been updated for that long. It became unusable. And so that's going to be my message this morning. And bear with me, it might not be your big Bible thumping message that you have here, but I want to bring some thoughts with you in the journey that I'm going on at this moment in time. And I just want to start with a story in Genesis chapter 22. And this is a familiar story where Abraham was asked by God, requested by God, told by God to take his only son and to sacrifice him. So in Genesis chapter 22, I'm just going to read this story to you. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I go and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place where God had told him about, Abraham built an altar. And there arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And then the angel called out from heaven, said, Abraham! Abraham! And I'm glad that Abraham said, here am I. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Let me ask us a question this morning. What if Abraham never said, here am I? Where would we be today? It's a challenging thought. Because God's covenant with Abraham was through the line of Isaac. And eventually the lineage would lead to Christ being here. And as we've celebrated the table this morning, living, dying and rising for us. If he had slew Isaac, that lineage would have stopped and would have changed the whole of biblical history. That's quite a powerful thought. And I'm glad that Abraham had the ability not only to listen to God the first time, but to listen to God the second time. Because Abraham received an update. Abraham received a software update. I know I said that back down in the valley, go and sacrifice your son. But hang on, here's an update. I've changed my mind in Abraham's head. God never changes, we know that. God knew the beginning from the end. But as far as Abraham was concerned, God had changed his mind. And Abraham was able to reply, here I am, what is it? What have you got to say to me? I know what the last command was. I knew what the last update was. I knew what your last said to me. What have you got to say to me? And the update message was, the software update internally for Adam, Abraham was, don't do what I originally said. It's fine. I've seen your heart. I've seen your commitment. There's a ram caught in the thicket. That's the sacrifice. And that challenges me because I've got to be aware that I, as Paul says, I only understand in part. I only see in part. I only understand this Bible in part. When I eventually get to see him, as we've sang about this morning, all will become clear. But at the moment, Paul says, we're looking through a glass darkly. And God drops new stuff into our lives all the time. But I want to challenge all of us this morning, myself included, is am I listening to my updates? Is my software remaining relevant? Because what is important for all of us as believers is not what I do, but it's who I am. And there are many churches which will try many things to try and either build the church, bring people in, we'll do stuff in our own lives, but it's not what we do, but it's who I am. And we can do the most great things in our church at home, but if what we're doing is not really what we are internally, it will never work. When we started the church that we're in now, we're joint leaders there, and we did a few little things. We were just sharing at the beginning of this service before we started that we did a meal for the local people, and we put together a two-course meal. Up to 100 people would turn up every Tuesday night, and myself and Esther, and we'd have a little bit of a team there after work. It was 100 miles an hour, but we managed to get enough food cooked, prepared for 100 people every Tuesday night, because we wanted to connect with the community. We wanted to know who they were. We wanted to show them that we cared. We wanted to show them that we're here for them, that we are not just putting on a church service, but we are here to serve you. We are here to show you love. We're here to show you of the experience that we've had. And we did that not because it was a good idea, but it was because of who we were. We were loving and caring people that wanted to show others who we were. So I'm saying that as an illustration that we could copy an idea and say, well, that church is doing a meal. Well, we'll do a meal. But if it's not really in your heart to connect with people and love people and go the extra mile, it doesn't work. And what's important is that our individual software is up to date. And thankfully, Abraham listened to God. And there we are today. Here, because Abraham was obedient. He received an update for his journey. And I want to say to us this morning, not just as believers, but as human beings, it's so important that our lives, no matter how old we get, remain relevant to the world that we live in. And I'm not on about compromise, and there's a lot that's going on in the church, and I could be here for hours talking about all the stuff that's going on. And I'm not talking about compromise this morning, because the goods never change, but the packaging does. None of us go around with two tin cans anymore with a piece of string in between to talk to each other, do we? You remember? Very few of us have got an old dial telephone at home. We've all got our mobiles. Many of us use internet banking. I was probably one of the last to use internet. You know, I was very, didn't want to get involved. I just want to go into the town every week and do me banking. And then when I realised how great internet banking is, as long as it remains safe, is a great tool. And yet, I remember at the time there was a real refusal in me. I don't want to go down that road. That's, you know, I don't want all my banking to be online and all that kind of a thing. And just realizing that there was something in me that was resistant to change, that actually would help me. Help me not to have to go into town twice a week and deposit checks. I mean, these days, you can just take a picture on your camera, can't you, of your check? And it just gets deposited in your bank. I mean, it's mind-blowing, really, the technology. But regarding our lives, I think it's important that we do remain relevant and up-to-date. And we don't get stuck. And like my old phone, that eventually it becomes defunct. Because we've remained where we were. We've stopped evolving as a human being, as a Christian. We've stopped learning new stuff. We've stopped just being inquisitive and understanding this generation, which is crazy to understand. This Generation Z that's coming through, they're complex. I'm working in a college at the moment, building two big buildings, and looking at these students, over 1,000 of them. So many of them are just, I feel so messed up, and their heads are just in a weird state. And it's very easy for me just to say, well, it wasn't like that in my day, and you know, we had this and we had that. And it's very easy for me to step back and just say, well, you know, we weren't like that. Well, it's too easy to do that, isn't it? And I know myself, I've got to invest time and energy and research to understand why these kids are full of anxiety and worries and concerns. Stuff that we never bothered about at school, did we? We just played out. We just played ball. We just made go-karts. We just had fun. Whereas now they're just... It's sad. With a lot of them, it's sad. But we as the church, we as believers, myself as an individual, as a grandfather of 7 children, I need to understand where they're at so that I remain relevant, so that I can speak to them, I can talk to them. And I remember taking 3 of my granddaughters out for some food three, four years ago now. And I remember just sat there and there was no relationship at all in the sense of communication. We were just poles apart. I think I need to understand this. If I'm here on my watch to do what I can, I need to update my software. Rather than stepping back and saying, well, you know, it wasn't like that for me. Well, I've got to be salt and light. And if this salt loses its saltiness and losing its savour, then what good am I? What good are you? My job at work, I'm a site manager, construction manager. We have to work to drawings. And very often those drawings get updated. And when I read the drawings, I start off with a set of drawings and I end up with more defunct drawings at the end of the job than what I finish up reading, because they keep getting revised. And when there is a design change, when the client wants more chairs, or they want floor boxes in the floor, or they want more steel in so they can hang stuff off, that becomes a revision. And so that drawing that I've been working to for a while suddenly gets revised. And when it comes through, it says revision 2, revision 3, revision 4, revision 5. Some of them at work, I'm on revision 6 and 7 now. And it's like, if I have the attitude of, listen, I can't be bothered with all this, I'm just sticking to what I know. I can't be bothered with all these revisions. If that's what you wanted in the first place, don't be changing your mind. It's very easy to have that attitude. I see you smiling. It's very easy to have that attitude because of wanting, can't be bothered. You know, that's what you wanted. And yet, if I'm to build this building, and it's to be correct, I need to be working off the latest revision. And one of the important things I have to do as a site manager is make sure that on my old drawings, I just put on it defunct, or I put unusable or something, but I have to scrawl a pencil over it. Because if somebody else comes in the office and picks that drawing up and starts working to it, they'll put all the heating pipes, or they'll put all the electrical sockets not where they're wanted anymore. And there becomes all kinds of clashes later on in the job. What I'm saying is that it's this update that we need in our lives. And sometimes things come along that are inconvenient to us. There are understandings And there are perceptions that we've and angles that maybe we need to see that we've never seen before. I've got my old Bible at home, big thick Bible like that. It's an interleaved Bible, a loose leaf page in between each one, and it's full of messages from 35 years ago. When I flick through that Bible, none of them messages are relevant for today. They were relevant for back then, for the generation that I was in, for the people that I was communicating to. It's a whole new ball game. And again, there are non-negotiables. We know about the blood, we know about Christ and the doctrine and all those things. But there are a lot of other things that just change. But the contents don't, just the packaging. Do you remember the old BlackBerry phone? Some of you might not even remember the BlackBerry phone. But this is the reason why the BlackBerry went out of service. Was because it didn't adapt to new technology. It was a lack of consumer insight and poor design. And they never stayed relevant. They made something, they stuck with it and said, this is it. And behind the scenes, everybody else was building on it. And they were that bent on saying, no, this is it. This is the technology. This is where it's at. That quickly, everything else overtook them. And they're not around anymore. Who remembers Blockbusters? Going to get your videos and posting them in. It's gone. Because things move on. Things change. And sometimes we can be so attached to our last update. We can be so attached to what we've done in the past. There are experiences, wonderful experiences that I've had in the past. There are wonderful encounters that I've had with God in the past. And as great as they are in the past. I'm here today, 17th of August, 2025. Where am I at today? Where's my relevance today? Where am I at individually? As a person, as a husband, as a grandfather, as a leader in a church, as a colleague at work. Where's my life at? Where's my relevance at? And we become so attached to some certain stuff in our lives, we don't want to leave it. And particularly in the church, that's where we can be. Because of that's how it's always been, that's how it always will be. And when we grow so attached to it, that becomes our God, as it were. It becomes what is sacred to us. But what should be sacred to us is who we are. My friend is now in... where is he? Where's Simon? He's in Florida. He's moved from Texas. He's in Florida, and he's working in a church. And the church is a very thriving church, but very, very traditional. And he's a young guy that's just trying to help the church, and he's been brought in there just to try and help the minister, just to bring relevance to the church. You know, not swinging from chandeliers and all that kind of stuff, but just bringing some relevance in. And there's a real resistance, and there's 400, 500, 600 people in the church. But there's a real resistance to wanting to change, and he's just wanting to bring some different styles of worshipping, styles of worship that are maybe a little bit more expressive and all that kind of stuff. And he's finding it a tough battle. And yet he messaged me the other day and he went, Paul, it's so funny, but it's sad at the same time. He said, we had a line dancing evening. And we saw it on the video, didn't we? They had a line dancing evening. They all had the cowboys stuff on, and all the kids had the cowboys. And the people in the church were having a wonderful time. Having a brilliant time. There were smiles on their faces, and they were happy, and they were glad to be together, and they were sharing food. And he just said, the place is alive. Come Sunday morning, it was like a mortuary. Because the church had become so attached to the way that the church has always been, and the way that they see God and view God and approach God, that there's no room for change. And yet, their real character came out in what they were doing as just human beings, enjoying time together. And what Simon is saying to the church is, that's how we want the church to be. If you want people to come in from the outside, you want to reach this world, then let them come in to a church that's got that vibe, that's got that family feel, that's got people that are showing energy and positivity. I'm not on about becoming Pentecostal and all that. For me, I'm done with all that. Even though I come from an AOG church where we're serving at the moment, you can put all that to one side. This is just about being relevant with God. And God does change. God does do different things sometimes. The Israelites, when they were following the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, and that was the ritual, that was the thing that they always did. When the cloud moved and the pillar moved, the people moved. They took the tent up and away they went. But what did God do to surprise them? The pillar and the fire went round the back of them. And so what was, wasn't. And that God decided that, okay, the pillar that you've been following is going to be behind you. So you carry on moving. I'm going to protect you from the rear. Because we knew that the Egyptians were coming and they were going to get them. So God had a different plan. I wonder what would have happened if they said, ooh, do we move forwards? You know, we've always done it this way. You know, the pillar of fire and the cloud has always been in front of us. What on earth is God doing? We've always done it this way. Yet sometimes God just does something different. We read about David and about many of the fights that he gets into, many of the wars that he gets into. What did David do every time he went to war? He inquired of the Lord. How are we going to fight this battle, God? How are we going to fight this one? Sometimes God will say, just go in and attack him. Sometimes he'll say, wait till you hear the sound of rustling and marching at the tops of the poplar tree or mulberry tree, whatever version you read. He says, when you hear that sound, go in and attack him. Sometimes he'll say, wait till nighttime and take him by surprise. But every time David went to war, he inquired of God. Challenges me. Do I just go to church and do what I do? Do I just, even in my own life, do I just carry on doing the same old things? And that there's no life or there's no energy in it. And I'm challenging myself. I need to make sure that changes for me. And there are four P's that I want to just go through, and that is passion, plan, purpose, and presence. And the challenge to me is everything that I do, from my own personal development, my health, my wealth, my finances, my church, my marriage, as a grandfather, am I passionate? Is there still passion in what I'm doing? Passion is a guide. Passion is a measuring stick. Have I lost my passion for what I'm doing? If I have, I need to start to pray and seek God and say, okay, where does my passion now lie? My passion has died for what I did. It's died for a reason. And I don't go back and resurrect it. My passion moves on and it changes. We have a passion for compassion at the moment, but I'm aware that that is going to change. And there'll come a time where my passion for compassion will dwindle. There's nothing wrong with that. I've just got to listen to myself. I've got to listen to my own software updates and thinking, okay, something's changed in me. There's a change inside. So maybe it's time to drop that and make room for something else. Maybe God's got something else for me to move into. But if I keep hold of just doing that because I've always done it and we've done it for 6 years or 7 years and that I've got to be faithful and I've got to keep going, but I know that that's come to an end, there'll be somebody else to take that mantle. I've got to take the update for my life. Passion is so important. Being passionate for what we do is so important, because once you have a passion, you make a plan. Once you have passion, you make a plan. I am 10 years older than my wife. No, she looks older than me, but not. I'm 10 years older than my wife. And the reality of that came real home to me 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And I realized that if I didn't begin to exercise and look after myself and my body a little bit more, I'm going to age more quicker than what I want to. I realized with my grandchildren too, that if I want to see my grandchildren grow up into a good age, then I need to look after myself. I need to make sure that this body is in half decent condition. So just over 4 years ago, 4.5 years ago, I decided every morning that I would go for an outdoor swim. Every single morning of a weekday. 6 o'clock, I'm in the pool. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, come rain, shower, ice, snow. I've done the lot. I am outside and I'll do my 20 to 30 lengths and before I go to work. And that just keeps my joints moving, it keeps my arms and legs moving, it gives me a little bit of level of fitness, and then there's a bit of an outside jacuzzi which has got salt water in, and I just sit and bubble in that for 10 minutes. And I just do some breathing exercises, just do some good breathing exercises, get back into my rhythm, just let all my stresses, anxieties, whatever they've got going on, and just have a connection with God and just give my life to God again and give my day to God and give my family to God just for that 10 minutes. And do you know what? That half an hour every morning just resets me. And I get to work and I'm passionate about my work and I'm passionate about my family. I love coming home to my wife, and we had a big barbecue on Tuesday with 18, 19 family members, grandkids and kids and whatever else. And I'm passionate for that. And it does me good and it keeps me alive and it's keeping this body in some sort of, I know that there's some stuff to go still, but I still feel flexible. I still feel okay. I've got to look after myself. So I've got a plan. I've got a plan that I keep as mobile as long as I can and as good as I can. So we come up with a plan. We have a plan at church that when I'm passionate about something, of reaching the lost, or I'm passionate about helping people, I'm passionate about going visiting those that are sick or are grieving, and I've got a passion there, it then puts you into a plan of action. And that you carry out that plan, because passion is the energy. Passion is the drive. We know that about Jesus, don't we? Jesus had compassion, not just empathy, compassion. And it was compassion that motivated him. It was compassion. He said he was moved with compassion. Not sat down with empathy and feeling sorry, oh, it's awful all that that's going on. No, compassion moves you. It takes you out of your seat, takes you out of your comfort zone, takes you out of your security and says, I've got a plan for this. I'm going to make it work. And after the plan, it brings purpose. To live a life without purpose is a sad place for us to be, particularly as believers. We know that great verse, don't we, where God says that I have a plan and a purpose for your life. We all need to know, doesn't matter how old we are, we need to feel purpose and know what our purpose is. This is my watch. This is your watch. Why you're still here, this is your watch. And I need to have purpose in my watch. When I leave here, when we leave here this afternoon, just turned 12 o'clock, when I leave here, I need to leave with purpose. I need to go into my week with purpose. And that purpose can be as individual as what we are here this morning. And fourthly, it brings presence. We can be here but not be present. I can be with my wife and not be present with her, if you know what I'm saying. I can be with my grandkids but not be present. I could have lots of other things on my mind and thinking I could do without these here at the moment. I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got the windows to do, I've got the washing to do. No, I haven't. But I can have all these other things on my mind and not be present with them in that moment. Do you know what it's like to talk to somebody that's not really present with you? That's not really listening? Do you know what that feels like? I do. When I try and make conversation with somebody and they're not really listening. And I want to be present in every situation I'm in. Whether it's with you guys this morning, whether it's the rest of the day with my wife and grandkids or at work tomorrow, I want to be present. I want to be a good example to my work colleagues. I want to see that there's something about me that's passionate, something about me that drives me, there's an energy. They won't know what it is. It's the Holy Spirit within me. It's the plan and the purpose and the passion of God that's within me. And there are times where I get that opportunity when they say, what is it? You can tell them. So I become present in what I do. And I say to members of our church, if you're not present with what we're doing and you just don't really want to be there, I just say, listen, you need to leave. I remember the first sermon that I preached at our church, and we weren't leaders then, and that was one of my first messages, and the lead pastor was looking at me, and I just said, listen, if you don't enjoy being at Life Church, you need to find another church. And he sat on the second row there, and he's sort of looking at me, thinking, you're trying to empty my church. But no, I'm not. Because what I was saying to the church is, if this is the place that you want to be, then be here and be present. If you're not enjoying it, don't be a nuisance. Go and find somewhere where you want to be. God's not a problem with that. I think it's us leaders that want to make people stay in their seats that they don't want to be in. That's another subject anyway. I'll have to finish there. There's a story I was going to read, but I've gone on, but I'm not going to read it, but I'm just going to allude to it. And that's where Jesus went in with his disciples. And they started to eat and drink. And the Pharisees and the religious people said to them, how come your disciples are not sticking to our traditions? He said, how come they failed to follow our usual Jewish patterns? How come they don't follow our ancient traditions? There's another part of that in Mark 7. It says, how come they don't do the things that we have, it says, clung to for centuries? How come your disciples don't follow our age-old customs? How come they don't participate in our ceremonies? And Jesus turns around to them and says, listen, you are forsaking the relevance of God in your life to keep your own traditions. He says, you're putting aside the word of God. You're putting aside me just to keep your traditions. And they were so attached to things that had been handed down for generation after generation after generation. They became so attached to the ceremony and to the tradition that they'd lost the passion, the presence of the one that they were worshipping. And that is what's key. One of the things I say everywhere I go now is that what we call church is our idea, not God's. The blueprint in Acts is that they met together, first day of the week, and through the week, broke bread, sung a couple of songs, and shared the word. That's all we've got. That's the blueprint. Everything that we do, including here, including my church at home, and every other church, is man's idea of what he thinks church should look like. And there's nothing wrong with that. But if we understand that, we won't hold on to it so dearly. And that we'd be willing to allow other ideas to come in. And that we begin to update and understand what is good for us. Just going to close with four things. Four questions that I want you to ask yourself. Number one, why am I doing what I'm doing? It's the first question. In your life, why are you doing what are you doing? These are great audit questions for your life. Why do I have the beliefs that I have? When I asked myself these questions 10, 12 years ago, I really had to delve back into what was I believing. Is it stuff that's just been passed down to me? Is it stuff that I was just regurgitating because it was what I was taught? And realizing actually it was a little bit off beam, but I've just held on to it because I thought it was a truth. So why do I have the beliefs that I have? Is what I believe still serving me and what I do? And is what I do still serving who I am? That's probably a strange message for you this morning, but I don't apologize. It's what's on my heart. And I'm full of messages, and I've got to give you any message this morning. Hundreds of them in there. But it's what's relevant. It's what's important to us. Lord, I thank you for Lost Ark Christian Fellowship. And I pray for them this morning. Pray for us all. That we would find our passions in what we do. That we then have a plan which brings purpose, brings presence. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness of those that serve here. Those of us that have been on the road for a long, long time have believed and trusted in you and have seen so much good, bad, and ugly But we're here this morning. And this is our watch and this is our time. And if there's any update in me, Lord, this morning, if there's any software in me that is not serving me, is not helpful to me, any thoughts that I have, any ideas I have, any moans and groans and discouragements I have that I'm living with, help me this morning, Lord, to renew my mind. Lord, help us this morning to change, to be changed from one degree of glory to another. And that even though the outward man is perishing, Lord, our inner man is being renewed. And I pray this morning, Lord, if there's any of us that have been stirred and think, hey, I need to renew that. I need to feel that renewal in me. I've become stuck. I've become stale. I've become stagnant. It's become a groundhog day. Same old, same old. Lord, I pray the challenge for us today is to find and regain our passions, our purpose, and our plan. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.